The topic today, again, is offering services to the homeless, attracting them to the community. What is the best way forward? Please call in with your thoughts and experiences. So, just doing a little research, you know, there was, I think it's called Como 5, the Seattle television station, a Sinclair broadcast. Oh, we're all lit up here. Let's let her rip here. Let's get the music off. And this is a conversation with John Orr. Thanks for calling. What's your comment or question?
My name is Crystal Heron, and my comment is that I have been through the homeless community here in Astoria, Oregon, mm-hmm. for quite some time now. I had gotten a lot of help from the ladies who run the program. I am now on my feet, me and my husband and our three kids. We had a place to live. And if it wasn't for them, we would not have been able to have a meal.
If it wasn't for who, you wouldn't have had been able to have a meal?
The filling empty bellies.
Filling empty bellies. Very good. Very good.
Yeah.
So, well, that's encouraging to hear. So there are definitely, according to you, effective agencies out there to help people who are hit a rough spot, a little down on their luck.
Yeah. When we first moved to Astoria in 2014, me and my husband were homeless. And I ran into them, and they served us our first meal, and they helped us do our laundry. They helped us with resources, and it's been amazing trip with them. I wouldn't take anything back at mm-hmm. all. Mm-hmm. Meeting them is the best thing that has happened to my family.
Well, that's great. Thank you for letting us know about it. It's called Filling Empty Bellies, and they're a nonprofit agency here on the coast?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, I sure appreciate your call, and looks like this is a popular topic. I've never seen my switchboard light up like this, so I'm going to take another call. Take care. Good luck to you, Crystal.
Thank you.
Okay. And let's see. So, there was a program, Como 5, in Seattle, and it was Seattle is dying. It wasn't Is Seattle Dying? Seattle is dying, and it looked at problems like the chronic crime and, the drug addiction, the mental health among the homeless community. But we have another caller, so let's take that. This is a conversation with John Orr. Thanks for your call. And what's your comment or question, please?
Hi, I'm online.
You sure are. You're on the okay. air, as we say in the old days. Go ahead.
On the air. Okay, cool. I found it a really interesting topic because I wanted to understand more about the homeless situation in Astoria. I just moved here last year, and I live downtown. And I wonder, because these people, they look healthy, they look capable of working, and I don't understand their story or their situation and how they came to be here doing what they do or not doing. And I found the lady, I was listening to the lady before me, and it was a beautiful story. Sounds like she, came out of whatever situation she was in. And I wonder, are people just going through a journey here and they're building their lives back up? Or they, it's a very interesting subject to me.
That's a really great question. And I kind of wanted to ask Crystal about her journey, but I didn't want to be nosy since this is not a very private forum for talking about, but in my research, you have joblessness, you have, and so people can't make rent, so they get evicted. And then you also have people that just cannot seem to help themselves. They have in the short run, they have homelessness is obviously tied to mental health and, the problem with our system in dealing with it, with the opiate addictions and methamphetamine addictions that just kind of cripple people's normal apparatus for survival and function and reduce them to craving and thieving and stealing and just neglecting self-care. So there are obviously those considerations that give rise to that. But I too have noticed that many of these people are well dressed and they looked healthy. They don't fit the profile of homelessness that, you know, I used to have. I used to see in Portland and San Francisco when I visited there. So it's a fair question. Are people drawn to places where there are better services? And anecdotally, from looking at three or four different communities and talking to somebody from another community, that does seem to be the case. So so have you had any negative experiences or interactions with these homeless people in downtown Astoria?
No, not at all. They've always been friendly. You know, I feel comfortable parking my car downtown, you know, overnight and walking around, no problem. And I noticed, just observing, you know, they seem to have almost like their own hierarchy, mm-hmm. and they seem to know each other, and there's a definite their own society almost. I don't know how to say it. Just observing, you know, their interactions with each other. So
yeah, that makes sense. Again, our topic today is offering services.
Sorry, I'm getting off topic.
Hold on. I want to put the promo in to get more callers, but I do want to talk with you some more. Is offering okay. The topic today on Conversations with John Orr is offering services to the homeless, attracting them to the community or to communities, if you have other communities other than the coastal ones in mind. What is the best way forward? Call in with your thoughts and experiences, please. And so back to the caller. So you say that it seems like they're kind of a hierarchy. And they don't, a lot of the ones I see, they seem well-dressed. They have good gear. They're not shuffling. They're walking with, most of them are walking with purpose, that they don't look particularly happy. And this time of year, being homeless has got to be wretched with the weather and all. What do you make of that?
Me?
Yes. You're still in there. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it must be the services provided in Astoria. I know I've seen advertisements. I think it's Helping Hands around here.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, there must be getting some assistance somewhere. I wouldn't know. That's why I'm calling. I want to find out more about this.
Okay. Well, let's let you go because there's some other callers, okay. I think, if I'm reading the switchboard. Thank you so much for your call. Take care.
All right.
People have questions. Are the quality of the services here reflected in the health the outward appearance of the homeless? And is that a good thing? And Crystal said it was, and it sounds like we have good agencies here. And this is a conversation with John Orr. What's your call or question? I mean, what's your comment or question?
Hi.
Hi.
This is Jan, and I have helped out from a few times at the warming center.
Mm-hmm.
And what I want to say is I have, you know, limited experience and exposure, but there's just not one story that fits all. There are people who have PTSD, who are veterans. There are people who have mental health issues. There are people who are between things and actually work at jobs that are underpaid, and they have a transitional period where they don't have any place to live. So they come there, and then they get cleaned up, and they go to work in the morning. I've seen college students
wow.
who've run out of money. You know, so there's all sorts of things, and there are simply people out there who do not fit into this complicated world. They might have managed on a farm 50 years ago, but they're just not up to what it takes to function in our society. And so it needs lots of different kinds of help, and I really appreciate that some people are trying to put together a day service center where people can make the change. But it's been really good, I think. One reason you see people fairly decently dressed is that people donate clothes.
Yeah.
And the warming center has showers and laundry services. So people don't have to, you know, can try to pull themselves together and have some self-respect. And that's really all I needed to say.
Well, I sure appreciate the call and the comments. That's enlightening. And so I think that the services are great, because if you have to get a job and you're looking for a job so that you can get off the street and into a home, you've got to look the part. You've got to have the hygiene thing going on. And I just think it's, you know, the highest calling to provide services to those in need. The tricky part, and apparently nobody out there has encountering some of the negative aspects of what appears to be a growing homeless population, the tricky part is the people that don't seem to want to do anything except, live on the street and do drugs, or people that just need help from a mental health system, which is clearly not up to it. And the what are the negative effects? Is there anybody out there that has experienced the negative effects? I'm thinking of maybe downtown merchants or people who maybe one time, I know a couple of people reported this, who used to enjoy the Riverwalk area more than they do now because of fears or because of harassment or the confrontations. And so, it's a complex question, and I guess I can refer to my notes since we seem to have a little break in the callers. Again, the program today is, the top program topic today is offering services to the homeless, attracting them to the community. What is the best way forward? So, give us a call, 503-325-0010. Have you had experiences like the last caller working with area coastal homeless shelters or providing services to them? If you've had experiences as a business person or a merchant, do give us a call. And I note that the city of Los Angeles spent $355 million in taxable income to provide services, and their homeless population appears to have gone up 23% in the subsequent year. Looks like we do have a caller. This is a conversation with John Orr. Thanks for calling. What's your comment or question?
Hey there, my name's Sean. I was calling just because, you know, I'm listening to this conversation this morning you're having with people.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fine line we have to walk with this, because there are a lot of people that need help, and that we can't help everybody. My one negative experience that I will tell you, I've seen it quite often, and that I feel is a shame, is the trash and the littering that's caused by the homeless camps and the pop-up sites that are around town. We live in one of the most beautiful areas here in this, northern part of Oregon. And with all the hiking I do, even the head to Tillamook Trail I've done a few times over the past couple months, and I've come across several camps that are set up there. The area behind Costco, it's, you see litter and trash just everywhere, and it's such a shame, because while you want to have the heart to help people, I don't understand that negative impact that has to be left by some of the homeless people. And I think that if anything, that will be a driving force at some point to actually make change, which will hurt a lot of people that are in need, and that's unfortunate. That's pretty much all I had to say about it.
Well, I appreciate those comments, and that is a problem if you don't have a home, but you still have a need for trash service, such as it is. You have a need for a place to go to the bathroom, living in the woods is not friendly to that, unless you're really conscientious about it, with a trash bag and trying to tidy up the area and seclude yourself. Frankly, I lived in the woods in Arizona near Flagstaff for quite a few months, and I must say that I found it pleasant and certainly inexpensive. I had a very poorly paying job, but I was able to actually save money. And, but I tried to be very conscientious about keeping it neat and tidy. And there was nobody else in the woods. Of course, that was 1985 or 86. It's a different time. So I really appreciate the call. And this is what makes it such a tough issue, Sean, because, you know, there are people that really need help and they're doing their best and they're trying to take care of themselves and they're trying to get a job. And there's other people, a significant fraction of them, that are not doing that. And maybe they're blameless. Maybe they're not. That's a whole other topic. There's a bunch of us out there that think you can, if you make up your mind to do something, you can do it. You can pull yourself the bootstraps, and they can tell personal stories about how that's happened. And other people, it appears, seem to be helpless to stop self-destructive or community-destructive behavior of drugs and crime. So appreciate the call from Sean. And, you know, tough policy questions. It's like the one we had with the height restrictions on the riverfront. If you shut down services to deter attraction of the homeless population, then people will be hurt, people that could come around. But if you do nothing, you can have places like Seattle and Portland that it really becomes bad. So we have another caller. This is a conversation with John Orr. Thanks for your call. What's your comment or question?
Hi. My comment is that it's Social Security problem. There's people that are on SSI, and their Social Security check does not cover their rent. It doesn't cover their utilities. They can't afford it. My son was a heroin addict, and he brought some people home to my farm, thinking that we could help them out. And, of course, I can't help them out because this gal was dying of cancer. She died in her car on the beach in Seaside last summer. I mean, she had cancer, and she lost her house because she couldn't afford the rent. I mean, this is like, you know, this is everybody's problem. It's not just, you know, a poor problem. It's everyone's problem. I mean, there's a solution for it, but you don't want these homeless people in, you know, renting out an apartment from, you know, downtown, because then you have to look at them. Because that's what you are if you were homeless, is that you're looking at what you would be. And people don't want to look at that. And that's not right. That's wrong. That's terribly wrong. And we've got to do something. I mean, that's all there is to it. If we have to go socialist, I don't see why not. There's nothing wrong with that. Just people caring for each other. I mean, there's no real fast and easy answer to this problem at all, period. I mean, we don't have mental health care at all. I mean, my uncle was schizophrenic. We were his guardians until he died of cancer. That's when they refused to help him anymore. I mean, he was living in a group home. He couldn't live in a group home because he had cancer. So he came to our farm and lived there until he passed away. But he couldn't live within four walls. It was horrible to try to keep him within four walls because of him being schizophrenic. I felt bad for him. I feel bad for all these people. I just don't know how to help them. Does anybody know how to help them?
We have some other callers. Let's see if they have some answers or suggestions. Thank you so much for your call. Let's see who else wants to participate in this conversation. What an active show. People have a lot to say. And this is a conversation with John Orr. What's your comment or question? Thanks for calling, by the way. Go ahead.
Hey, John, this is Graham. I hope it's all right that I'm calling in.
I think it's okay. Go ahead.
So... I think it's great that you're doing the show, but referring to it as a community issue is sort of my issue. And I did a quick look online, and in 1959, there were 37,000 mental health patients in hospitals in California. In 1955, there were 560,000 in the U.S., and that's 70 years ago. I know our population has increased since then, and so I think that compassionate legislation at the federal level is what we need.
To address the unmet needs, the huge unmet needs of the mentally ill, not just in our county, not just in our state, but on all of the states. Was that a fair statement?
I mean, I think a broad stroke towards mental health is a great start. I agree with Jan that, you know, student debt is an issue. PTSD is an issue. And so, you know, rather than thinking in terms of Band-Aids, let's think in terms of fixing the cause. And so another interesting thing I found is that in 1963, JFK signed the Community Mental Health Act, which put the responsibility on the federal government and he was assassinated like a month after signing it. Mm. And it never received stable funding, and less than half of the promised centers were built. Mm. And so, you know, we've been on the right track before, but he wasn't saying, gosh, what's Astoria going to do? He was saying, what can the whole country do?
Yes, yes. That's very true. And, you know, I have some thoughts by way of curatives. It seems like there are more and more billion-dollar judgments being levied against the primary manufacturer of opiates. And I hope some of that money is going to address not just treatment, but the homeless component of that treatment need, because the statistics vary from, 25 to 50% of the homeless population have chronic addiction, and it's probably divided between opiates and heroin, which is cheaper and easier to get, believe it or not, than the opiates that may have started things in terms of pain management. And so it seems like that's one place to really look. The families made a lot of money on selling those opiates and prescribing them, and now we've got a problem. And I think they're part of what has caused this problem. They're not the only problem. And I wholeheartedly agree that we need to get serious about maybe looking at our laws and state and federal, subject, of course, to constitutional limitations. But if people really can't take care of themselves and they've been committed time and time again and they have, a bad case of paranoid schizophrenia or related disabling disorders, that we ought to think about humane institutional treatment for them. I know that, there was that Jack Nicholson movie, the Ken Kesey book about The One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, and there was all mm-hmm. these idealistic ideas about what we could do to help the mentally ill in our community. But I don't think the funding's been there, and I don't think it's worked out, and I think you raise a great point in that regard.
Well, and his act was called the Community Mental Health Act, and so there was a network of community mental health centers that were federally funded, and it also noted that he was possibly inspired to act because his younger sister Rosemary was mentally disabled and received a lobotomy and spent her whole life hidden away. Mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. so that's what I mean about, no president is perfect, and we certainly don't have a perfect president now, but, somewhere there's got to be a grain of compassion.
Well, and
our lawmakers and our...
Yeah, you mentioned California. I think a lot of people I've talked to said that when Ronald Reagan was president, that movement to shut down the hospitals happened. And the state of Oregon, when there were funding problems, started shutting down its, psychiatric hospitals or mental health institutions. So maybe the money wasn't there, but we're certainly having to deal with the fallout of it. And quite frankly, having traveled to Portland and followed the story of the negative aspects of the homeless population there, it's pretty bad. There are leaving your lawn chair, it's on the deck, it's gone. Really disturbing things happen. And we really maybe haven't been hit as hard here because of the kind of population we have here. But I got to get some other calls here, Graham. Thanks so much for your call.
All right, John.
Okay.
Thanks.
Yeah. So, we've got about 5 minutes left here. And this is a conversation with John Orr. And the question is, do providing services to the homeless attract them? And what's the best way forward? So please call in the remaining time with your thoughts. Looks like we've got somebody right now. This is a conversation with John Orr. Thanks so much for your call. What's your comment or question?
Hi, this is Crystal again.
Yes, thanks.
I could not help but hear that you wanted to ask me about my journey.
Yeah.
I'm not ashamed about my journey, so whatever questions you have, I can answer.
Okay, well, how is it, succinctly, because we only have a couple minutes and a couple more calls, succinctly, how was it you came to be homeless in the first place?
My parents. I've been homeless since I was a kid, and I married my kids' father, and it went downhill from there. Mm. I came to Astoria homeless because my kids were here, mm-hmm. and so this is where I came to be with them. I had to leave Astoria in 2015 to go back down to take care of my father, which was dying of cancer. And so I came back up here, and, you know, we tried putting in job applications here and there. You know, we couldn't get a place because nobody wants to hire a homeless person. Mm. And nobody will hire anybody that doesn't have an ID or a Social Security card or anything along that line. And so I had found a way to get all that. And so we got all that. And then we just kept going to wherever we needed to go to be able to get to where we are today. It's been a rough road. I mean, I've dealt with addiction, with methamphetamine. I have dealt with alcoholism. I'm sober, and it's been a long trip, but, you know, people shouldn't look at the homeless as bad people because they're not all bad people.
Of course not. Of course not. Let's thank you for that follow-up. I'm going to take some more calls, that's enlightening. So Crystal had some significant obstacles to overcome and did so. So that's really a helpful and hopeful story for us to contemplate in the provision of services. And it's got to be discouraging to not have ID or be able to make yourself up the way you want to make the best presentation. We have another caller. This is Conversation with John R. Thanks for your call. What's your quick comment or question?
I was wondering, when you were doing your research, if you talked to any of the people that were on the street.
Why do you ask that?
Because the tone of your question, the premise of the show, seems rather negative.
I have to agree with you.
Very often what's wrong with the people who are on the street is not immediately visible.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. I have disproportionately talked to the people that have been victims of crimes or of harassment, or have seen the quality of life and the cleanliness and safety of their neighborhoods degraded by the homeless population. I'll admit to that.
Did you attend the meeting about homelessness that was held?
No.
By the town a couple weeks ago?
No, I don't. And ma'am, I really appreciate your comments. You're dead on. I don't profess to be an expert or a person that's involved themselves in this. I'm just a guy who's having a radio program taking calls about the homeless and people's experiences, and not just raise the community consciousness, but raise my own. I have mixed feelings on this complex issue.
Okay, may I just suggest that in the future you try to be a bit more neutral?
Okay, well, neutral's obviously.
You.
Thank you very much. Neutrality can be a subjective thing because we are, informed by our experiences and. I keep an open mind. I appreciate the caller's point and the question. So that's probably going to do it for this week's show. I appreciate everybody who called and, they've given me a lot to think about. And this is a tough problem. We'll probably return to it. Seems there's a lot of community interest. So this has been A Conversation with John Orr. We'll be back next Friday at 9:30. Thanks for everybody who called. And we're just going to try and get an email thing up and about. Coming up at 10:01, the news, and then for the Friday Folk Show. Music provided by Buck Reed.